Thanks for finding me at Organic Matters. For those of you know that have kept up with me for years, some of you for 20 years, I'm still very much into the idea of climate change. The IPCC, International Panel for Climate Change, has put out a report that will probably be the last one before, if we're unlucky, hit the magic 1.5 degree increase in temp that we don't want. So I'm going to go through this pretty thoroughly. If you don't want to listen to it, it's going to be about 10 or 12 minutes. Go to the next part. But folks, it is extremely important as we have now exceeded 8 billion people on Earth, and we're going to have 10 billion unless something changes by the year 2050. I won't be here. My kids will. And that's why I'm so concerned about it. We are going to be the first generation to leave a world that's less livable and less sustainable than we got from our parents or their parents' parents or anybody before them. Climate change is a threat to human well-being and actually to the health of our entire planet. The United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, sometimes I don't say it right, wrote in a new report. The report issued a pretty much dire warning about the pace of global warming, but acknowledges that humans are making progress toward reversing climate change. There is a rapidly closing window of opportunity, though, to secure a livable and sustainable future for all of us, but more importantly, for our offspring. The IPCC just published its synthesis report that summarizes its research during the sixth climate assessment process, which will guide policy debates ahead and through the conference of about what's called the Conference of Parties 28, which will take place in Dubai in November of this year. A summary of findings across a wide range of research. The new report calls for an end, folks, now, to fossil fuel extraction to prevent humanity from overshooting its remaining somewhat small carbon budget. The amount of CO2 that can be emitted before a catastrophic increase in global temperature happens, which would lead to a true collapse in a number of different civilizations. Now, I'm adding this from me, folks. I've been following this 30 years. This is something. Why we didn't listen? We had scientists that were telling us this literally 30, 35 years ago. And if little or nobody, especially the governments, didn't listen, you know why? Because the politicians that are in charge get their money from the petroleum companies and from other people that have no reason to get involved. Well, at this point, they really are going to have to get involved. And I hope, my promise, my desire is the very oil companies that are now getting and producing petroleum for us can be the very, very companies that turn us into sustainable, renewable energies. And it's not a question of if. It may be a question of when. I thought it would be sooner and not later. It's going to be later. It's not if we're going to have electric vehicles. We are going to have electric vehicles. It may not be in 2030. It may not be in 2040. But we have no alternative option once we literally almost eliminate the fossil fuels we have. And if not, make them so expensive that they're no longer an alternative to normal everyday existence. Anyway, back to the IPCC. They lay out a collection of recommended steps to lower greenhouse gases levels and reached net zero emissions, hopefully before the year 2050. Earlier than most governments had targeted, but the reason is the critical step is a rapid wind down of the use of fossil fuels, which the IPCC points out still receive more funding. This is what's crazy. We know we can't be doing it. The damn petroleum and oil companies still get more subsidies from the government than do any other fuel, including green, whether you want to call it solar, wind, hydro, whatever you're looking at. It's just ridiculous how ignorant can we be? Folks, right now, I'm 75 years old as of the 4th of July. Humanity is skating on thin ice. And that ice is melting faster than we ever thought it would. But today's IPCC report is a how-to guide to defuse the climate time bomb that we are all facing. If you don't believe it, then keep your head in the sand and be a damn ostrich. But it is happening. How damn much difference do we need to see just in the last 5 years to tell you that it's going on? It is a survival guide for whatever we're going to have left called humanity. As it shows, the 1.5 degree limit is achievable, but if we don't do it, then we exceed that. What we exceed from that is going to become increasingly catastrophic. A few facts we really know, and if you don't believe in facts, then keep listening to Fox News. They don't give you any facts. Between 1850 and 2019, humanity spewed into the atmosphere 4/5 of the total carbon it can release without disastrous consequences. Average global land temperatures have climbed to an average of 1.59, that's centigrade, which those us in America, we don't do centigrade, that's 2.82, almost 3 degrees since 1850. And the air over our oceans is only 1.58 degrees Fahrenheit. I won't bother you with centigrade again. Warmer because the water cools the air above, but the oceans, which function as a heat sink for this planet and its atmosphere, will take longer to cool also once we reach that net zero emission, threatening centuries of sea level rise, no matter almost what the hell we do right now. Nobody listens. And I'm going to give you these numbers just because they published them, that they're beyond my little tiny brain comprehension. The IPCC writes that the remaining carbon budget allows for 500 gigatons, the hell that is, of CO2 to be released if we want to avoid warming over the 1.5 degree or 3 degrees Fahrenheit. At 2019 emission levels, which were 50, over 59 gigatons, we have about 8.4 years of emissions left before we exceed those numbers. During the pandemic, emissions actually fell. Listen to this. They fell 10 million gigatons. Listen, 10, that's a lot. That which shows, here's the point is, it shows we can do it. If we maintain or lower emissions further, there's a decade left before the worst irreversible consequences of what we're doing to our climate change are expected without us being able to stop anything if we don't start now. And more facts that we know for those of you that keep your head in the sand. Sea level rise caused by glacial melting in Greenland and Antarctica alone will become a real perennial yearly problem, reaching at least 1.1 meters by the year 2100. Folks, that's 3.3 feet. Doesn't sound like much. At this level, rising oceans will inundate most, if not many, of the world's ocean ports. Some, not some, but a hell of a lot of, which in our United States, interrupting global supply chains for years as seawalls were built and port facilities raised to higher and higher elevations. And folks, if you think we have an immigration problem now, get a grip on this, okay? This is why it's happening. The report also explains that between 3.3 and 3.6 billion people are in regions that will be heavily impacted by climate change, including increased incidence of drought, severe storms, extreme heat, water shortages that will be 15 times worse than those in other regions, and basically make it impossible for them to grow their own food. Where would you go if you lived there? Every additional increment of warming is predicted to multiply the severity of human suffering and mass extinctions of a number of species, and that's a sore spot for me, and increase the chances of irreversible damage to the environment in which we folks, humans, in case you didn't know, all evolved. According to this latest study, this study is done by over 100 scientists from all over the world. As far as I know, there's no political thing behind this. They are hoping to help us along, and they're it crosses all, whether they're Russian, they're Chinese, they're American, they're European. They're looking at, they're not in this stupid political game we're in. They're in it to try to say, hey, folks, we got a problem. Okay, there's no doubt in my mind, and it hasn't been for 30 years. I just sometimes run into people that are absolutely got their head in the sand. And incidentally, ostriches really don't do that. I don't want to beat this thing to death, folks, but the other thing I've been promoting, I have friends, and friends I really consider among my friends, that thought I was crazy 20 years ago, and I might have been. But, folks, no doubt, switching to electric vehicles for personal and business use will eliminate at least 70% of the transportation related emissions. Now, that has to do with agriculture. I know it has to do with us polluting, but 70% change, folks. And I have people, I talked to a friend the other, I count among my friends, and I told him, I'm getting an all-electric car in September. I've already got an order. I got everything figured out. He said, well, what are you going to do for a long trip? Well, first, at 75 years old, I don't take a lot of long trips, but I've taken one once a year, and my 260-mile car per charge doesn't work, which incidentally, with superchargers, and there are going to be 500,000 of them by 2030, I will charge you in about 80 minutes. But that not being said, then I lease a car once a year or once every 2 years for 10 days. The money I save in electricity alone will far exceed the cost that would take for me to rent, quote unquote, a combustion car. And if I wait 2 or 3 years before I go, for instance, the new BMW gets 350 miles to a charge and also charges in under 2 hours. Yes, is it going to take a while? Yes. I've used this before, but I don't know if I've done it on my show. Folks, when the first Model T came along, everybody with horses, literally, there were times when they shot the cars because the cars were scaring their horses to death. And they said that it'd be a fad that we'd never have cars on the road, that the horse was the way to go. Well, folks, the combustible engine in our cars is the horse fading into the past. Is it going to happen in 2 years? No. Is it going to happen in 5 years? No. It's going to happen. It has to happen. We don't have a choice. We've only got so much combustible fuel. We can only put so much dirt in the air. Oh, come on, folks. Just be reasonable. I won't go through any more of this. I just find it ironic that in my case, people I consider pretty intelligent in most places are so narrow-minded to think, well, I can't get an electric car. Yes, you can. Even the guy I was talking to, I won't use his name because I still consider him a friend, most of the time, let's say 300 days a year, 350, he's in some little town, one place or the other. And here's what I got to say to him, even if you don't want to do that. So let's say it takes one extra day to get there because every 300 miles or so you have to stop for, well, with the high speed ones, an hour, maybe 80 minutes instead of 15 to gas your car up. But for the other 300 days, you're using a car that runs on a couple dollars a day of electricity. We're going to electric cars. The sooner, the better. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic.